Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingernail where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
Okay, let's think a little about Thomas doubting that Jesus rose from the dead. So Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, he was not with the disciples when Jesus first came. I wonder if you've been in a situation where you've missed out on something. We always all have a fear of missing out on really, really good things. Maybe for you, it's been, I don't know, everyone else was invited to the party, and it felt like you were the only one not. Or there was a school trip, and you got ill the night before, and you couldn't go. Or maybe it was a job opportunity that you thought you were going to get, and you missed out. And we can have this just sense of other people are having a better time than us. Have you ever had that? Or is it just me? I'm sure it's common. Where you think other people are having a better time than me, and we've got this fear of missing out. Now, this has got to be the worst thing to have ever. I mean, what was Thomas doing? I mean, I'd love to ask him that. Where were you? What were you doing? He misses out when Jesus first appears to the disciples back from the dead. Now, can someone help me? How would you have felt if you were Thomas? Hands up. How would you have felt if you were Thomas? Let's go on here. Shocked. Okay. Shocked. Somebody else. Yeah, over here. So, would have felt shocked and... Go on, say it again.
Sad.
Yeah, sad. I think that is how I would have felt. Really, really sad. Any other feelings? Oh, we've got some right at the back here. Great. How would you have felt?
Grumpy.
You said that with a wonderful smile. I love that. Yeah, I think we could have felt all of those things, feeling shocked, feeling sad, feeling grumpy. I wonder how you would have felt. Well, look, let's think about Thomas. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, what is going on? Imagine this. Imagine you've got a friend, and your friend has really hurt their hand, and they have to go to hospital, and they have to have stitches, okay? And they come out of hospital, and you go and see them, and you say to them, "Oh, can I see your wound?" And they're like, "Well, it's all bandaged up." And you go, "Well, just take the bandages off. Let's have a look." And for some reason, they do. And you go, "Oh, it's disgusting." And then you go, "Oh, can I have a poke? Can I touch your wounds?" I mean, no one does that, do they? I mean, who does that? I mean, you're pretty sick if you do that, aren't you, really? Okay, this is a hard question. Why do you think Thomas says, "I won't believe unless I poke around in Jesus' wounds"? Why do you think that? This is a hard question. Why do you think he says that? Yeah.
Because maybe he didn't think that Jesus might have been someone else and that he wasn't real.
Right, yeah. This isn't real. I don't think you're going to offer to do that if you really think you're going to have a chance to, do you? I think Thomas is saying, "I don't believe you. I just don't believe you." I think that's what Thomas is saying. Now, maybe you're someone this morning and you've got doubts about Jesus' resurrection. Easter seems unbelievable. I mean, like Thomas, we weren't there, were we? We weren't there on that morning when Jesus appeared to the disciples. And maybe you've heard people say, we're saying this morning, "Jesus is alive." You're thinking, really? Did he really beat death? I want us to note that the disciples, they weren't gullible first century people. They didn't just kind of believe anything. They're like us. They go, Do you know what? Dead people don't rise. Thomas was about to find that his doubts were going to get changed.
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Let's think about seeing Jesus then. So we've had doubting Jesus. Let's think about when Thomas actually gets to see Jesus with his own eyes. So a week later, so Thomas had a whole week doubting, not believing. So a week later, and this time Thomas is with the rest of the disciples, and they are locked away inside a room because the people who crucified Jesus are out there. And the disciples, they're afraid of being got themselves and also being hurt and locked away or even killed like Jesus. So they're really scared. They're locked away. They're not expecting much to happen. They're just afraid. They're kind of hiding. Now, I want you to imagine how Thomas is feeling. He's with them. And suddenly, Jesus comes and stands right in the room. And he says, "Peace be with you." And he's saying hello, but he's saying, "I'm blessing you. All that I've said that I am, God, Savior, is true. I died on the cross that you might have peace with God." I wonder how Thomas is feeling. Because remember, he's going, "I don't believe it." And now here's Jesus speaking and talking. You can see him. And then he turns to Thomas, and he says to Thomas, "Put your finger into my wounds. Touch me." How do you think? Let's have some thoughts on this. How do you think Thomas is feeling? How is Thomas feeling at this stage? Any thoughts? How is he feeling? How's he feeling? We're not sure. Someone at the back is. Let's try back here. Yeah, go on.
Confused.
I reckon that's a pretty good description. Yeah, I think he's going to be feeling confused. What actually is going on? Yeah, boys.
I think it's shocked.
Shocked? Yeah, definitely shocked. What have you got?
I'm gag.
Glad. Oh, sad. Sad, yeah, yeah. What is going on? He can't make any sense of it. He's been, for the last week, going, "It's not true." And now here is Jesus right in front of him. And he's going, "Really? What is happening?" Jesus says, "Stop doubting and believe." Stop doubting and believe. How do we know we're here today? Because we experience each other with our five senses. You know, we can hear each other, we can see each other, we can touch each other. And that is exactly what it was like for Thomas on that day. He experienced Jesus, could see him, could hear him, could touch him. So just as real as the person next to you is just as real as Jesus was to Thomas that day. Thomas got to see, Jesus, hear Jesus, touch Jesus. So this is kind of where the unbelievable, he's going, "I don't believe, but actually there's the evidence right in front of me. What do I do with that? How do I kind of process that? How do I kind of respond to that?" And we're going to think about that in just a moment. But I want us to be clear that Jesus could be experienced then as easily as we can experience each other.
Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Okay, so we've had Thomas doubting, Thomas seeing, and here we have Thomas believing. So Jesus says to him, "Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas responds, he says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Just think about what he's saying about Jesus. He is saying that Jesus is God. That all the things that Jesus did, his miracles, his teaching, and now his resurrection from the dead, prove that he can only be God in flesh. Come into our world, that we might know God today, that God might not be just out there distant, but actually someone that we can know today and we can know personally. So he's worshiping Jesus and he's praising God for Jesus. But what about us? So we live about 2,000 miles away from where this happened and about 2,000 years later than it actually happened. So what about us today? How can we know Jesus today? How do we learn about Jesus today? Does anyone want to help us with that? How can we know Jesus today? Any ideas?
Pray.
We can pray. Yeah, that's how we talk to God today, by praying. Well done. Thank you. Yep.
We can read the Bible.
Great. Brilliant. We can read the Bible. That's how we learn about what God's done through us through Jesus. Any other things? Somebody at the back.
Be kind.
Well, that's what Jesus tells us to do, isn't it? We should be kind to people. Yep. Well done.
Believe that Jesus rose again.
Yeah, brilliant. So so we can read about God in the Bible, we can learn about him there, but then it's actually responding to what he's done for us by believing and putting our trust in Jesus ourselves. That is how we personally come to know him today. Do you know what? Jesus talks about people just like us. So he says, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." And that is actually most people who've ever lived, isn't it? There's only a few people that got to actually see Jesus alive from the dead. They really did, but they were quite a small number of people. So he's talking about most people and us today. Now, one day, Jesus will return. He's promised that. And we will all see him. We will all hear him. But now, he's back in heaven. And so how do we get to know him today? Well, like you've just said, this is how John 20 ends. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." This is where it gets very, very personal to us. This is about you and me and how we respond to him. So we believe by trusting in what the friends of Jesus have written in the Bible, what they've told us in the Bible about what they saw. And you know, back then, it's worth remembering this, back then, people didn't like what they said about Jesus. And pretty much all of Jesus' disciples, they died. They were killed by people for saying Jesus was alive. That is how much people wanted to silence it. No one dies for what they think isn't true. You only die for what you know is true. And they were prepared to even die for saying, "We've seen Jesus alive," because they couldn't deny it. They'd seen it with their own eyes. Actually, it's the same today, isn't it? Many people don't believe. Maybe you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus this morning. Maybe you've got doubts about that. Will you be someone who Jesus says is blessed here? Because even though you haven't physically seen or heard or touched Jesus alive from the dead, you believe the event of the resurrection really happened. Jesus' death on the cross for you. Will you put your trust in him today? That is why Jesus came. He came to pay the penalty for our sin, to die in our place that we might be forgiven. And he rose again from the dead that we might have hope, not just for this life, but for the day when we die. That we might know that there's life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. And we come to know him today by doing that very simply, turning from saying, "Lord, I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done. I trust in you that you died on the cross for me. I give my life to you, the one who rose again from the dead and is king over all things. You're king over my life. Would you come into my life? Would you be supreme over my life? I want to live for you. I want to obey you. That is the best life ever that we could live. It's living reality. He is king. One day we will bow to him. Let's do that today. He's the one who beat death. We can trust him with ours. So I wonder what best describes you this morning in the story of Thomas? Someone who's still doubting? Someone who's, and actually that is simply to go along with our culture. It's to simply be brainwashed into the thinking of our culture that doesn't come at this with an open mind, but comes at it cynically and biased. Rather than an open mind that, do you know, if God is God, then it makes sense that death wouldn't beat him, doesn't it? It's entirely logical. It's amazing. We can't understand it. It's supernatural, but it is logical that he would beat death. Don't go along like a lemming with our culture in cynical unbelief. Look at the facts if you're doubting. And see. You do that by opening a Bible, exploring it with other people who maybe can help you understand the Bible. Here at church, we're trying to communicate what the Bible says. On a Sunday, we put on courses here to help. If you want to explore the Christian faith, we'd love you to come along to those. Let us know if you'd like to do that. So you're a doubter this morning. Are you a seer, beginning to see? Have you come to the point of going, yeah, I believe. I put my trust in Christ personally. If that's you today, we'd love to kind of chat with you about that. Do come and speak. Or if you've got questions on what we've said this morning, we'd love to talk further about that.